I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Oh, yes! You know what that means. That song can only mean one thing. That is the official walk-up music of the Heritage Foundation. Rock star Philadelphia, the number one Eagles fan in my mind. Swoop's got nothing on her. She is, of course, the author of the book, Battle for the Jewish State, How Israel and America Can Win, and the former deputy national security advisor to President Donald Trump. She is the one and only Dr. Victoria Coates, as seen on Fox News, even more than me. And she is on X at Victoria Coates. Hello, Dr. Coates.
Well, happy Friday, Rich.
Happy Friday, and thanks for coming back on the show today. I appreciate it. We got a lot going on. The president was talking with the energy executives. We got Greenland. We got Venezuela. We got Russia. We got Ukraine. We got Iran. Seems like a very busy week in international relations. So dealer's choice. But first, how are we going to do Sunday against the Niners?
Yeah, heck is a popping. And the helpful folks over at your rival station, WIP, put up a poll today asking if Philadelphia fans would prefer to beat the 49ers or sign Bo Bichette from Toronto.
Yeah.
And you could only pick one. And it was literally like divided down the middle last time I looked. Nobody could pick.
Nobody could pick.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll embrace the and we'll both get Bo and we will get a win over the 49ers. It looks to me like a win. I mean, anything can happen, but this looks like a pretty good game for the birds.
Are you? I'm feeling good about it. The betting odds are in our favor. But then I understand if we win this game, we got to face the Rams. And from what I'm told by Justin and Matt, Justin, who knows football, Matt, who pretends like he does, the Rams might be more challenging for us.
They may be. At the same time, you know, they don't have the experience that we have in terms of, you know, recent playoff runs and how much the Eagles have been in the postseason over the last, really, 5-10 years.
Yeah.
And I think we're only second to New England in playoff appearances over the last, 10 years. So it's, you know, that will be a tough game, make no mistake about it. But again, I think we can beat anyone on any given day. So it's just a case of getting them ready. And that's up to Nick.
And that's right. Exactly right. Okay. So now dealer's choice again, around the world we go. Let's spin the globe. Where do you want to start? Where does it land, Dr. Victoria Coates?
Well, you were talking about betting odds, and for the first time, the betting odds on the Supreme Leader of Iran staying in office over the course of the next year have gone down. It's now over 50% that he will be leaving office.
Wow.
And that's, yeah. And, you know, that's the clearest indicator that people actually believe this to be true. And so, interesting report today that at the beginning of this week, our intelligence community was assessing, and Israel's was assessing, the chances of the protests succeeding as low. But as of last night, they were revising that. That to see, because the protests had sustained and increased over a period where they thought they were going to be dying out. And I think that's entirely due to what the president did in Venezuela that we were talking about on Monday, that demonstration of both U.S. power and his willingness to use it, and then also showing that no one is beyond our reach, really galvanized the protesters. So I think we're going to see, you know, the president was very strong today in that White House meeting with the oil execs, that if the IRGC, the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, on the direction of the Supreme Leader, starts firing on the protesters, and the reports are that they have, that we're going to fire back.
I heard him say that. Yeah, that was a pretty powerful phrase by the president. We'll fire back.
Exactly. And, you know, because we don't like to make Mama Zeola nervous, this does not mean invading Iran by any stretch of the imagination. It means you could do a whole host of things. And my estimation, if there's any kinetic action, that almost certainly would be led by the Israelis. I mean, this is why we provide them with $5 billion in security assistance a year. And if it's case of targeted airstrikes on the IRGC facilities or leadership in Tehran and surrounding it, that's something they're fully capable of doing. You know, we could support a whole host of ways, refueling, transport, being present to assist with missile defense in the event of a counterstrike. You know, all of that, you know, it's how we can express our support. But it would be essentially Israel taking out the trash for the region, which they've been capably doing over the course of the last couple of years. So, you know, it would look like that. It would look like the reports of Elon Musk pumping Starlink internet access into Iran so the protesters can communicate with each other in the outside world. So I think there are a lot of ways we can make good on what the president said.
All right. Now, in thinking then about Venezuela and the president today having all of these oil executives at the White House talking about Venezuelan oil and crude and then rebuilding. And he kept talking about that, rebuilding the infrastructure. So two questions on that point. Why did Venezuela, an oil-rich nation, allow their infrastructure to degrade to such a degree that we have to come in now, or these oil companies have to come in now and rebuild it?
Oh, this is the poison of socialism. I mean, one word, it's socialism.
Yeah.
I mean, you remember,
kind of had a hunch
today.
That was going to be your answer, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, I might have gone right in for communism, but they claim to be socialists, so right. we give them that distinction without a difference. But, you know, some of those execs were saying they had lost all of their assets in Venezuela twice to the tune of $12 billion. And, you know, so they are rightly nervous about going in a third time. They want to make sure the institutions are in place so that they can, they can have some confidence that they're not going to take another massive write-off. And so I think that's really where you're going to see the president focus. There's a lot we can do in terms of loan guarantees, insurance, that kind of thing, which isn't, you know, a bailout for big oil. It's not giving them money. It's just giving them the confidence to go right. in and develop these assets. But I mean, it is what is so painfully stupid about what has happened in both Iran and Venezuela. I mean, these should be two of the most beautiful, peaceful, prosperous countries on the planet. You know, great people, great cultures, great locations, great assets. And they've both been just run into the ground. It shows you how important, you know, rule of law and strong institutions are.
Now, when we're thinking about this, and the president mentioned the people of Venezuela. So, you know, some of the criticism of taking Maduro was, well, this was not to liberate the people of Venezuela. But actually, he was then saying that they're renaming streets in Venezuela after him. So, I mean, it seems like the reaction on the ground has been pretty positive. Maduro, we talked about this, lost the election by like 80%. He refused to leave the country. He refused to turn over power. So I imagine the people want him gone. I have not seen a lot of that in the news, though. So you probably, Dr. Victoria Coates, have a much better idea of that than I do. Has this capture of Maduro been greeted favorably by the people of Venezuela?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is what they've all been asking for. It's what they voted for in 2019 and in 2024. So, yes. Now, the problem they have is not the problem, but the process we're going to go through here is the president decided not to immediately install a transition government, but rather to work through the existing Venezuelan institutions. So the vice president became the president. She's no angel. She was Hugo Chavez's lawyer. She's a very bad actor, but she knows she has to cooperate with the United States. So he's making her this forced transition. And then we can get to, without dissolving the government, we can get to a better outcome and hopefully new elections next year for the Venezuelan people. But he did say today that he thinks stability and democracy are largely the same thing, that, you know, to get to stability for Venezuela, we will need democracy.
OK, now let's turn then around the globe we go. I'll go a little bit further north up to Russia and Ukraine. And that question came up today again with the president. Where do things stand with Vladimir Putin? Can you give us some context on these oil tankers and what has been happening there, Dr. Coates, with regards to this? I believe now the United States seized two oil tankers. There was at least one story I saw said one may have been under a Russian flag. I don't know if that's true or not. And that a Russian submarine might have been following it or might have been trying to intercept that. So can you explain all that for us?
Yes. And this is this kind of interconnected underworld of that we call the shadow fleet of these unflagged tankers that are moving Venezuelan, Russian and Iranian oil around the world, largely to China. I think we should think about it as China's shadow fleet. This is how they get all of their cheap energy. And so you have a Venezuelan tanker, the Vela 1, which suddenly renames itself the Mariana, paints like with crayons a Russian flag on side of its hull and says, oh, I'm a Russian ship. Oh, and where did that ship come from? It came from Iran to go get the Venezuelan oil that suddenly become a Russian ship. So all of this is the same group, and that's what the administration's been choking off, and it's working. There were reports today that Russia's oil exports are down 18%.
Wow.
Those barrels are building up. They're in their storage. There's a limit to how much they can store, and that's really important because if you can't pump, and they're I think, at least 250,000 barrels a day below their OPEC plus limit. And if you can't move that oil, you can't pump more. And then your wells start to degrade. So this is how I think the president is looking to bring Putin to the table. I mean, that is just like a slow vice grip on him, where his options get more and more limited. And if he can't move that crude to China when Xi is already feeling the pinch for not being able to get it from Venezuela, if Iran is teetering on the brink, then that's a huge problem for China. That's why all of this is interconnected and why it's important.
And, you know, as I'm thinking about this, I'm reminded of the great phrase that you've used before on the show, Dr. Coates, which is that Russia is a gas station with nuclear weapons. So if people are not buying that gas, if they can't buy that gas, that hurts them economically. But internally, politically speaking, if people are not buying gas, they're probably also not stopping for snacks and all the other drinks that you would get at a 7-Eleven if you're filling up the car. I mean, I run into Wawa and I always grab a hoagie when I'm, you know, filling up. So,
everyone does.
Right. Obviously. I mean, duh, come on. But I'll equate Russia with 7-Eleven, not Wawa. I would never insult Wawa in such a fashion. What does this do for Vladimir Putin internally, politically within Russia if their economy starts to suffer because they're not selling that oil?
Well, more than even the domestic economy, because bear in mind the culture he's built up for the Russian people is one of suffering. I mean, heck, they put up with the Soviet Union for whatever it was, 75 years. And so the domestic economy isn't so much the problem as it is the oligarchs, the strongmen he's put around him, who he has just wildly enriched through the Russian oil and gas industries. So if they start feeling the pinch, if their revenues start going down, and if his personal revenues start going down for the same reason, then he has a problem because those people won't stand with him. They're going to go to the highest bidder. I'm not saying George Washington will suddenly emerge in Moscow because that's not happening. But somebody else could say, hey, you know, this guy refused to make a deal with Trump. Deals on the table. We could have gotten out of the stupid war in Ukraine. Why did he get us into it in the first place? I'm going to restore your money. I'm going to restore your $1 billion a year that your wives and girlfriends are all used to. That could then be what really creates a problem for Putin domestically.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, it's fragile over there. He's run things with an iron fist. He's also getting up there in years, as we've talked about, because, you know, the average life expectancy for a Russian man, I believe, is 65. He's in his I think he's only at 74, right? So he's already kind of cheating.
Yeah,
kind of cheating time over there. All right. So then Ukraine, and obviously Zelensky has still not agreed, as I understand it, to the peace deal that we've put on the table. Is that correct?
He's made some movement. He's moved on the NATO membership issue. He's moved on the territory issue. I think Zelensky knows if there's a remotely reasonable deal that Russia will accept, he will accept it too.
Yeah.
it can't go on. So that, I think, is much less of a problem at this point than Putin is.
All right, you've lost your voice. You've been on TV every day this week since we captured Maduro, and I have not. So your ultimate revenge, because, you know, and here's why, Dr. Coates, and I want everybody to understand this, because, you know, she was the former deputy national security advisor. So this is how this played out. And this, Justin and Matt, you should know what happened. So last Friday night, I went up to New York. I was on set with Brian Kilmeade, who was filling in for Laura Ingraham, on set, solo, and we talked for like 5 minutes. And then Dr. Coates saw that and said, called up President Trump, the true story, and said, go get Maduro now. And then he did. And then by the next day, that I believe that's what happened.
Well, hopefully my voice is going to come back, because I'm scheduled to be on Hannity at 9:15 tonight.
There we go. You see what I mean? It's just amazing. It's amazing.
Just to get you, Rich, on your last day at on this format. I know we have exciting things coming next week, but they're sending a satellite truck to my mother's house in Colorado.
Oh my God! I mean, it wasn't bad enough. You got the sat truck and bumped me at my own show in Cape May. You had to get me bumped from the news cycle by getting Maduro abducted in the middle of the night by Donald Trump. I mean, come on. Abduction is not really the right word to use, but, you know, captured. I mean, just the grasp you have is truly remarkable, but good for you. Good for you.
Well, it's been great to be with you so many times on this format, and I will miss the long form interviews, but excited about what's coming next.
Well, we're going to do long form interviews as podcast exclusives, and I'd love for you to join me for that once we get rocking and rolling next week. So I would you know, be honored to have that, and we'll do a little bit on the radio and a little bit as a podcast exclusive. And there's no one better than Dr. Coates when it comes to all these things. So I would love it if you would join me for that.
No, that would be great, and thanks to all the Zeoli Army for their support of the book, and I know they'll be coming with you on the next adventure.
I know they will too, because they are the most loyal audience in radio. And if they haven't already, get a copy of the book. It's called Battle for the Jewish State: How Israel and America Can Win. All right, good luck on Hannity tonight. Go get a Ricola.
I have Ricola, and Maria Bartiromo told me this morning to take elderberry syrup.
Oh.
So I'm doing that. So hopefully it will. So that's just a recommendation from a pro.
And you got to go Ricola. I believe it's how you say it, right? Isn't that how you do it?
Something like that.
Yes. Don't do it. You'll lose your voice. Don't do it. All right. Be well, my friend. I'll talk to you soon. Let's go Birds.
Sounds good. Go Birds.
All right.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No. Anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Okay, it is our happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, where we're going to be doing live shows in 2026. Well, you don't have the dates yet, but we will get the dates for you, and we will expect to see you there as we do our live shows at the Grand Hotel. That will not change, and I'm very, very happy about that. I'm very excited for that, and I can't wait till we get together again at my happy place of Cape May. In the meantime, you should think about booking a stay with your family over winter break, because they have that beautiful indoor heated pool. I got to tell you, my kids loved it. They really did. They love that heated pool. Heated saltwater pool, I should mention. Heated saltwater pool. I did not get a chance to ask Dr. Coates about this, but I wanted to let her go because of her voice, and it wasn't fair to keep going on. And, you know, unlike other hosts, I actually, when I ask my guest a question, I view an interview as an opportunity for me to learn something and for you to learn something. There are other hosts out there, I'm not going to mention any names, who don't ask questions. They actually just give a long monologue and then look to the guest, and then the guest, and then they're like, we're out of time. And I'm not naming names or suggesting that Dr. Coates is going to be speaking with one of those hosts tonight. I'm simply saying there are hosts like that. I don't want any, I'm not trying, don't, DeSantis, don't start trouble for me. I'm not saying I'm not naming any. I'm just saying I like to ask questions of my guests and actually let them answer. That's all I'm saying. So,
yes, this could refer to anyone.
Anyone. And, you know, not necessarily. Nothing triggered my memory of that there are other hosts out there that don't let their guests actually answer a question and proceed to just, do it. Nothing that she said made me think of that. So. That said, she'll be on with Sean Hannity tonight on Fox News, so tune in at 9 p.m. Oh, man. Let me get myself in a lot of trouble here. All right. President Trump says the United States, though, will be conducting land strikes against the cartels. This is cut number one. We will see what that means. Take a listen.
We've knocked out 97% of the drugs coming in by water. And we are going to start now hitting land with regard to the cartels. The cartels are running Mexico. It's very, very sad to watch and see what's happened to that country. But the cartels are running and they're killing 250,000, 300,000 people in our country every single year. The drugs, it's horrible. It's devastated families. You know, you lose a child or a parent. I mean, parents are dying, too, with drugs. So we've done a really good job. We're knocking it down. The numbers are really getting to be, they're always going to be too high if you have one person, but they're going down just like the border.
Crush the like button? Is that what I hear coming out of Greg Stocker's mouth every 8 seconds when I listen to the morning show?
Smash the like button.
Smash the like button. And he starts yelling at people if they don't like it enough. you ever hear that? And he starts yelling at people. And so anyway, so like the I'm going to be on Kale and Company Thursday morning. I was just informed by Nick Kale, put out a very nice video. It was very nice of Nick. I'm not going to play because this is not a farewell show. So I was nice to Nick to put that out there. And I commented on it and said, I look forward to being on his show 7:45 a.m. Thursday morning. I'm not sure if he's right about the a.m. part, but if he is, so that's brutal. But anyway, my point is, that was very nice of Nick to do. But I'm not playing it because this is not a farewell show. I'm still going to be right here on WPHT. I am not leaving this radio station. Just a new iteration and a 6 p.m. show. And there will be long form interviews and podcast exclusives and me joining Nick's show once a week and Dawn's show once a week and whoever they figure out for 3 to 6, assuming that whoever they put there likes me, I'll be more than happy to join them too. I'm not going to certainly force my way on, but if they want me, I'm more than happy to join. So we'll look forward to that too. But that'll be coming up all next week. And Dawn's show Fridays at 10:30 in the morning, even the days that I'm not working. So there you go. That'll be fun stuff. All right. I want to play the video for you of the officer's perspective in the shooting in Minneapolis. And obviously, I'll point out this is, you know, a tough video to watch. It's a trigger warning here, but we'll do that and we'll play that for you. So we'll load it into YouTube. I know there's a delay. So, Justin, maybe you can narrate it for us.
It's got the audio.
Oh, it does have the audio.
Yeah.
OK, great.
Matt censored it, so we're good to go. You ready? You want to play it now?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right.
Every morning, just so you know, it'll be the same plate when you come talk to us later. That's fine. U.S. citizen. You want to come at us? You want to come at us? I say go get yourself some lunch, big boy. Go ahead.
Get out of the car.
Okay. Her wife is still recording the officer even after the woman's been shot and the car rolls out. So he walks over to her and says clearly, get out of the car, get out of the car. And she looks at him and tells him to go F himself. And then she starts to turn and drive away, and she clearly hits the officer with her car. It's not even a question. She was, this could have been very easily avoided if when he said to her, get out of the car, get out of the car, she got out of the car. But instead, you hear her wife saying, drive, drive, drive. And she makes a snarky comment, and then she hits the gas and hits the officer, and he fires at her. I mean, her death could have been avoided if she had just simply listened to what the officer was saying and then not struck him with her vehicle. It's the bottom line. I mean, that perspective right there, that body cam, this is why I've always been a fan of body cams. I've always been a fan of them. I think that they set narratives straight. They protect the public and they protect the officers. Today is also National Law Enforcement Day. So thank you to everyone who is a police officer for your service. We appreciate you very, very much. Special shout out to Papa Zioli, of course, retired law enforcement lieutenant. But if you just listened and you didn't drive away, and let's play it one more time, because it's a little tough to hear sometimes the audio, but let's do it one more time. We can see it. We can see the perspective here.
Every morning, just so you know, it'll be the same plate when you come talk to us later. That's fine. U.S. citizen. You want to come at us? You want to come at us? I say go get yourself some lunch, big boy. Go ahead.
Out of the car. Get out of the car.
Okay. So he says, yeah, the car, and she, I believe, says to him, F you, I'm not, or something like that. And then she yells, drive, 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 honey. And then the woman hits the gas and then slams into the officer. And then he starts firing at her. It's very difficult to watch that and not walk away from having the conclusion that this is her fault. I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is. And, you know, the day it happened, I reserve judgment, because I said I have not had a chance to review all the camera angles. I have not had a chance to review all of it. By yesterday, I was pretty confident that this was on her because she didn't listen to what they were telling her. Now, with this, there's no way you can watch that and make any other conclusion than she was responsible. She hit the officer with her vehicle, and she would be alive today if she had just simply gotten out of the car as she was instructed to do, and not hit the gas and then hit the officer with her vehicle. This officer had already been dragged by a car on a different occasion and had injured himself at another time. Well, not injured himself. I mean, he was injured by a vehicle that was dragging him at another incident. The only way you can watch this and make a rational conclusion, or I should say, make a conclusion that this is the officer was murdering her, is if you refuse to use logic because you are so just completely and utterly driven by hatred towards either law enforcement, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or you just want this woman to be some sort of a hero to the left and a martyr and the next, you know, the white lesbian George Floyd. I mean, that's it. If you want this woman to be the white lesbian George Floyd, then you're going to look at that video and say she was murdered. But then you are not using logic. You are not being critical in your thinking, and you're not being objective. Bottom line. And it is sickening to me that you had Jimmy Kimmel hold up a shirt that said Donald Trump is going to kill you. It is sickening to me that The Daily Show use this woman's death as a punchline to go after Donald Trump for not being sympathetic enough to her, or whatever it was. Sickening. This woman had absolutely every opportunity to comply. And even if she had just simply sat in the car and not hit the gas and hit the other ICE agent, she would still be alive today. Like, even if she didn't get out of the car, she would have been alive today. But she decided to not only ignore his orders and tell him to F off, she hit the gas and she drove and she hit the officer, and he's, you know, he's alive, thank God, but she's not. And that's on her. I mean, there's no other way to say it. Look, I am as fair as it comes. I'm as objective as it comes. You know that. I've called out cops and they've been wrong in the past, and I'll do so in the future. If they're wrong, these guys are not wrong. They're not. You know, Chris Rock said it. I mean, there's a way to not get your ass shot by the police. And this woman did everything she could have done to get shot by the police. Even, you know, if she, the taunting of the officers and the all that stuff wouldn't have gotten her shot. You know, taunting them, mocking them, telling them to go F themselves, all those things would not have gotten her shot. These were officers who were being very patient and very critical of, I mean, very patient and, you know, putting up with these people, calling them Nazis, and they're not shooting people for calling them Nazis. They're not shooting people for telling them to go F themselves or get out of Minneapolis, or they're just standing there and taking it. Even when people throw things at them, they're not pulling out their firearms and shooting at them. This woman then hit the gas and used her vehicle as a weapon and hit this ICE officer. And he used his firearm. That's it. Bottom line. If she had just stayed in the car and he was saying, get out of the vehicle, it might have been a very tense situation, in which case, ultimately, she would have been taken out of that vehicle by force, but he wouldn't have. There would have been no reason to discharge his weapon. There would have been no reason to fire at her. Let's understand that point. He didn't shoot her because her wife, I mean, I keep hearing her being described as her wife. I don't know. I'm assuming that they're married. I've no idea. The news has reported that was her wife. Well, he didn't shoot her because he didn't like what her wife had to say. He didn't shoot her because he didn't like the fact that her wife was filming on her iPhone. He shot her because she rammed her car into him. Now, whether or not that was her intent or not, as you watch the video, it's very obvious that she hits the gas and she peels out of there in direct defiance of what the other officer had just told her to do. So one can make a reasonable conclusion that there's at least a 50-50 chance here she meant to hit that officer. All he needs in that moment is just the fear of his life being in danger. And that closes that case right there with him using his weapon. Done. Right then and there. And I think if any reasonable person could conclude, from his perspective, he had reason to believe she was trying to kill him with that vehicle. Secondly, even if she was fleeing and the officer used his weapon, he still would have been within his legal rights to do so. Because she's fleeing. And there are numerous court cases, as Andy McCarthy has pointed out in National Review, that would also justify that. But I don't think that's at all what happened here. And I don't think he would have. I don't think he would have if she was just simply trying to evade the situation. But he still would have been within the law to use his weapon if he believed that she was a danger to somebody else. But he's struck by the vehicle. You can see it in the vehicle, in the video. He's struck by the vehicle. And the wife is saying, drive, drive, drive. And she does. And she gets to the gas. And, you know, they were there to agitate. They were there to mouth off. They were there to obstruct law enforcement. But that's not why she got shot. She didn't get shot because of the words that she was saying. She didn't get shot because her car was blocking traffic. She didn't get shot because her wife was being nasty, or she was being nasty, or they were using profanity, or any of the other things that the left is trying to spin. She got shot because she used her vehicle as a weapon and hit that officer. Bottom line, and 100% avoidable had she just simply not hit the gas and struck the ICE officer. Had she just listened and complied in that moment, she'd be alive. It's what I told you a million times. It's and what Dr. Riley said, or also what Wilfred Riley said earlier. You know, there are very easy ways to not get shot by the police. She literally just wrote the book on how to get shot by the police. How to justifiably get shot by the police. That's what she did. That was a justifiable shooting. And that cop was 100% in the right. And I'm glad that the feds have already said that they will be making sure that this guy has immunity for what he did, because he did nothing wrong. Nothing. You know, and they may attempt, Minneapolis, Minnesota may attempt to try to arrest him or some nonsense or whatever Tim Walz has been, you know. And this is why the rhetoric of these politicians is so dangerous, because these guys, without having a chance to review all the camera footage, did the opposite of what I'm doing. So I waited to draw my conclusion after I saw what happened from multiple angles. These guys went out there and completely inflamed the situation with their absolutely irresponsible, deliberate rhetoric to fire people up. Deliberate rhetoric to fire people up. Deliberate to throw gasoline on the fire and to get people angry and to get people upset by saying this was murder and saying that the ICE agent purposely murdered a woman in cold blood simply for exercising her First Amendment rights to protest. They were lies, vicious lies told by the mayor and by that idiotic governor in an attempt to save his political career, which is over. And he wants to use this woman's death. He wants to use this officer involved shooting as a way to try to rehabilitate himself. And now you've got other lefty politicians across the country doing the same thing, from Krasner to the sheriff of Philadelphia. Here's what the Philadelphia sheriff, Rochelle Bilal, said as she invoked "say her name" rhetoric, as if to imply that this is some sort of a case of the woman who was shot when there was a no-knock warrant that was served. And that's not, again, what this situation was either. Not even close. Here's cut three. Take a listen.
Good afternoon. I'm Rochelle Bilal, the sheriff for the city and county of Philadelphia, and I say her name, Renee Good. This should not have happened, but we're here today. Let know that law enforcement professionals, real ones, not the fake made-up ICE, probably trumps a new army to attack citizens of the United States. Did you hear what I said? Mm-hmm. No law enforcement professional wears a mask. Mm. None. Those that come into our communities wearing a mask to commit crime, I thank God for our district attorney, Larry Krasner, who say he's going to lock them up. And I'm saying now, we are not going to whisk you away for them to hide your identity. Because when you do it there, you get arrested there. No whisk away for them to hide you. None of that here.
All right. So now this is a completely irresponsible, lefty, lunatic politician who's saying all these things. And I am way over break and I'm going to take a quick break. But this is shameful, what she said. Shameful. And again, her goal here is to fire people up and make them irate in the spirit of Larry Krasner. Prayers to old man Dudley and his family. Old man Dudley has been a great friend of the show for a long, long time. He just became a grandpa, and not too many details, but I know his son had to go for his bypass surgery, and his grandson is 5 days old, but his son had to go for bypass surgery, but it went well. So that's great to hear, and so wonderful. But send some prayers to old man Dudley's way, at EPAL Bob. All right. So, but that's great that it went well. Excellent to hear. Really, really good. All right. We got a lot to get to as we continue with the show. We'll grab Greg's call in just a second. Let me tell you about Emmons Roofing and Siding. So my friends from Emmons, they came over today, Krista and the design team, and Bob's Little Sports Shop. Thank you for the clarification. Bob's Little Sports Shop. Bob's, they came over today. And they came over today. They called me today. I'm getting my stuff right. They called me today to say that my background check came through and I can pick up my firearms this weekend. So I'm going to be picking up I'm very excited about this. I got a Smith & Wesson 9mm and I got a Winchester 12 gauge. Ba-boom, right there. So I'll pick those up this weekend from Bob's Little Sports Shop. Bob's is not just about selling firearms. You know, they're a full service shop with over 60 years of experience. And they help me every step of the way with the paperwork and New Jersey's insane paperwork rules. And then, of course, we did some range time. And then they help you with the training so you can safely operate that firearm. And then you work with the instructors to sharpen your skills from your grip to your aim, your posture, all of it, so that you know how to use that firearm if you ever have to protect your family. And you should make sure that this is the year you set the resolution to protect your family, okay? Because even the pros work on their skills. That's why the team at Bob's is so great. So just reach out to them, bobslittlesportshop.com, bobslittlesportshop.com. You see all the events coming up. They got a ladies shoot coming up. They got a co-ed shoot coming up. And they always have their range available for the public's use. And you will find such an incredibly helpful team. Brian, Wayne, Don, the team, they helped me pick out my firearms. And of course, April, who went back there and helped me shoot. Wendy, terrific people at Bob's Little Sports Shop. So go see them today. And yeah, they love us. They really do. And they stand for freedom and liberty. And I'm excited to pick up my guns this weekend. So I got something to look forward to this weekend. Excellent stuff. And yes, of course, because I know Mom's always listening, I got a gun safe to make sure that it will be protected so that kids can't go near the guns. Don't worry, Mom. I know you're all listening. You're going to be all, you know, be careful, baby. Don't worry. We'll be careful. BobsLittleSportsShop.com. This ad sponsored by Bob's Little Sports Shop.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It is Friday, baby. Friday. Yes. Hope you have a great weekend. We got the Birds game on Sunday. Greg is in the Northeast. Greg, what's up, my man?
Hello, Rich and guys. Not that anyone's dying, but the show will not be the same because the chemistry that Justin and you and the Ivy League brioche roll eating elitist.
Yeah.
It's not going to be able to be duplicated. You know what I mean?
How do you know that?
I hope it is, but it's not. And just go back to some of the shows like your Love Gov with the New York hand sanitizer is probably as
well,
great.
I can't help it that Cuomo lost. Hey, look, if Cuomo was mayor, I would be able to make fun of him, but he's not. He didn't win the election. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, what am I going to do?
We got to bring back the hand sanitizer. That's what we have to do.
Right. The hand sanitizer.
Right.
The hand sanitizer. New York stinks now with more lavender. More lavender.
Right, but...
Yeah.
And Megaphone Bernie was the greatest. But I know the real reason why you couldn't continue the show.
Why is that?
You hated having Fridays off, and you really hated... This is what put the stress on you. You hated having your show preempted for basketball and sports, and that finally did it, so you have to control it. So I know how you feel now.
Thank you for understanding.
And good luck. It's good luck, and we all love the show on this side of the glass.
Well, you're the best, pal. I appreciate it. And give the new podcast a chance. Give the show at 6 a chance. I think you're gonna like it. I do.
Absolutely, Bjorn. Are you going to be able to say some words that you weren't able to say before, or is this still on regular radio?
Well, I'm not a guy who uses a lot of profanity. You know what I mean? Like Matt's girlfriend. So.
Do you have cuffs on you?
No, Matt!
Get over here.
Remember her?
Yo.
That's not who I am, you know?
No, you're not the Kensington hottie, right?
No,
I'm not the Kensington hottie.
I could theoretically drop an F-bomb or two in a podcast. It's not my style, you know? So.
No, but there's other words that have slipped out. They're not quite the F-bomb that are right on the tip of your tongue. It rolls off. It's natural.
But yes,
we'll all be listening, and thank you for a lot of years. And I will say the one thing was the funniest thing you ever did was when you were hosting up at Parks. It was after the pandemic. I think you're going to remember it. You looked to your left. I was in the audience. You looked to your left, and you saw two people wearing masks. You remember that?
I do.
And... oh my God, that was hilarious! And you didn't like you tore them up by being real sweet with a smile and said a few words. That was your greatest. Most people didn't even hear it because they weren't there. It was the best, Rich. So good luck, and we'll be listening.
Greg, thank you, pal. Appreciate it very much. Have a great weekend. Listen, we're not going anywhere. 6 o'clock Monday. It's going to be great. I think you're gonna love this. I really do. I think you're gonna love this new format. You're gonna be happy. You're gonna get and don't forget something. It's gonna air on the station at 6, but it's gonna be ready to go 3 p.m., 4 p.m., 5 p.m. It's gonna be ready for you. And what can I tell you? I mean, this is a new digital age we are embracing here. But I love radio, and I'm still gonna be on the radio. It's not like I'm never going to be, with you in person again or commenting along or any of these things. I mean, I know change is hard. I get that. Change is hard. When I left afternoons the first time and I went to mornings, people were very upset. They're like, I hate that you went to mornings. And then I left mornings to go back to afternoons. And people were like, I hate that you left mornings. And I get it. Change is hard. This station, because of loyalty, and now I've been doing this here for 15 years. 15 years I've been on the station as a full-time host, but only 11 years as a full-time host, because Patrick's 11, so he was born right after I became the afternoon drive host the first time. So it's been 11 years, but before that it was part-time. I was, doing things, and I was 6 to 9 and, all that. So, I mean, the Zioli Army... We built this incredible, incredible following and loyalty. I couldn't do this without you because, somebody made the comment like, well, everybody's got a podcast. Well, it's true, but everybody also has a radio show. I mean, there are hundreds of stations around the country, and there are hundreds of shows around the country. There are lots of shows in this city. Many of them stink. So just keep that in mind, too. We created something very beautiful and very special here. That's not going to change. It was different when I left mornings and came back to afternoons, and some people weren't happy, and then other people were. And I've already had people comment, and they've said, I love the fact that now I'm going to get an hour because I'm busy, and I'm going to get to listen for an hour, and I'm going to get everything I need, 45 minutes to an hour of great content that I can listen to on my schedule and my time. And I can also listen to it on the radio, and that's great. And there are other people who've made comments, and they're snarky, and that's okay too. I'm used to that now over the years. I hope no one looks at this as some sort of a goodbye. It's not a goodbye. It isn't. It's a change. I have to, in my opinion, at this point in my life, at this point in my career, I have to evolve into the next chapter of where the media and broadcasting is going if I'm going to survive. That's my opinion. Other people can disagree with me on that point. It's a free country. It's a fair, and that's okay. Everybody has to make their own decision. But for me, this is the most positive thing because it gives us the opportunity to have a great show, great content, still be on the radio, and also for you to listen when you want and where you want on your schedule, and to be able to get me at my best, because that's what you're going to get every day, Monday through Friday, even on Fridays. But you will. And I think you're going to love it. I really do. And it's going to be on video. And we've put a lot of work into this with the production value and the lighting and all of it. So I think you're going to love it. I really do. I think you're going to love it. You got to subscribe to the podcast. So it's the Rich Zioli podcast. Please do that. But, as far as the things that you, I mean, for example, I left mornings and people were like, oh, I missed the banter with Greg and Dawn. And then, Greg in the Northeast just calls in. He's like, well, it's not gonna be the same as the banter with Justin and Matt. Everything evolves. Everything evolves. There's nothing that says that there's not going to be me making fun of Matt DeSantis on this podcast. There's probably, it would, if I were betting on Polymarket, I think Polymarket has it at 99%. So I'm just saying 99.99%. So, and it's not like Matt's going to be helping the whoever's 3 to 6 prep for the show, because he doesn't help me prep for the show. So, right?
No, that's not right at all. I disagree.
Justin's shaking his head.
just no prep whatsoever. It's amazing how he just wakes up at 2:30, whatever it is, fake godless time. connects to the access, but like 15 seconds before we play the show, the show open at 3:03, and he just sits there and he laughs and he talks like a geek for 4 hours whenever you call on him.
Justin's just unloading full barrel right now. Boom! I love it.
It astounds me.
Linda Kearns is going to own that podcast.
Like 2:58 p.m. Don't you love that?
Oh, yeah. Especially when I have to pull audio clips and make sure everything's ready.
No, that is a lie. You get the first show sheet at like 3 or 4 in the morning right before I go to sleep. And then you get a second show sheet, a finalized copy at around... excuse me.
2:58.
Like 2:30?
Yeah.
Now 2:30. And then sometimes I update it in the middle of the show. There's numerous show sheets. There's more show sheets than you know what to do with.
All right. Well, we will see how it goes. We got an hour to go, though, so we got plenty of stuff to get to. I haven't even begun. So don't go anywhere. Big story of the hour brought to you by Dr. Mike Veneria, Veneria Dental. Go see him today for your perfect smile. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Dr. Mike's going to give you the beautiful smile that you deserve. And I still have to do Emmons because I started it before, but then I stopped. So, no, I didn't. I stopped. I started and I stopped. I started and stopped. Didn't I? I did the full Emmons.
Another one to be on the safe side.
You did the full one at 4:24.
Okay.
Because it was like right after you got done talking with Henry.
Okay, I believe you then. All right. As long as you know, then that's fine. Then that's good. All right, great. All right, so then we're good. And then we'll do our fourth and final hour straight ahead. So don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.